Debug the hive, kick back, clear your mind.
Nicaragua's President Daniel Ortega told supporters this week his government will stop holding elections. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Content is curated from online communities. Today is July 21st, 2026. That announcement matters because it isn't a policy tweak. It's a formal move to eliminate competitive ballots in a country of about 7 million people. Donald Trump's 18-month promise to halve U.S. electricity prices hits a hard deadline today, and the data say the opposite. Residential rates rose roughly 18% from January 2025 to April 2026, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Utilities asked regulators for about $9.2 billion in rate increases in Q2 2026, and PJM's latest capacity auction cleared at a record $16.4 billion, so the political promise collided with market realities. Watch regulators and state commissions this fall because retail rates are set locally, not from the White House. Yemen's Houthi movement announced a naval blockade against Saudi Arabia this week, saying the move begins effective immediately, and insurers and shipping interests reportedly bumped premiums after the claim. The Bab el-Mandeb is a strategic choke point for Saudi crude via the Red Sea. Even if the Houthis can't sustain a full blockade, elevated insurance and longer routes would raise costs for shippers. Keep an eye on freight rates and any coalition naval responses. A cyber news probe found the password manager Passwork, which marketed itself as made in Europe and GDPR friendly, actually has operational and ownership ties that point back to Russian-linked entities, the report says. That's a concrete supply chain red flag for anyone who stores logins and secrets. Export your vault, enable multi-factor authentication, and prefer independently audited or open-source managers when jurisdiction and provenance are unclear. This week's Ortega announcement is not rhetorical. Reuters reports he told supporters plainly, there won't be any more elections here, framing the decision as protection against foreign interference and domestic challengers. That line is a short sentence with huge consequences. Ortega returned to power in 2007, has rewritten the Constitution, and elevated his wife, Rosario Murillo, into what critics call a co-presidency. Since the 2018 protests, human rights groups say hundreds were killed, thousands jailed, and many opponents driven into exile. The president's comment closes off the legal route for rivals and would institutionalize personalist one-party rule in a country of about 7 million, and that has predictable regional effects. Central American neighbors will face renewed migration pressure if repression accelerates. Humanitarian groups and asylum systems in Costa Rica, Panama, and the U.S. are already stretched. International response options are blunt and limited. Targeted sanctions, diplomatic isolation, and asylum processing are tools democracies use, but they rarely change the calculus of an entrenched dictator quickly. On Reddit, threads were full of anger and practical advice. Users urged Nicaraguans to preserve documentation for asylum claims, exporters to prepare for increased risk, and Western governments to coordinate targeted asset freezes. The legal abolition of elections also raises a question seldom asked loudly enough. What do democracies actually do when electoral channels vanish? History shows sanctions and moral condemnation slow and punish, but rarely reverse personalist consolidation. Absent a mass internal rupture, the most immediate consequences will be deeper isolation, a humanitarian squeeze, and a likely spike in outbound migration over the next 12 to 24 months.
Turning to Ukraine, the domestic cost of sustained war is turning violent in ways that matter to the battlefield. The BBC reports recruitment officers have been assaulted more than 600 times so far this year, and Ukraine's Human Rights Commissioner recorded over 6,000 complaints about recruiters last year, specifics that mark a systemic breakdown in conscription practice. The story is full of painful details. Veteran volunteers who once fought on the front lines are now being attacked while trying to find draft dodgers. One frontline veteran beaten while on a search said the question tearing him up was, "What did we fight for if soldiers can now get beaten?" The complaints catalog unlawful detentions, coercion, and what Ukrainian critics call busification, rounding men up and shipping them to units with little transparency. Kyiv's reform proposals, better pay, fixed-term contracts, handing draft patrols to police, are rational responses to low morale, but political turbulence at the top complicates things. The sacking of Defense Minister Mykhailo Fedorov has stalled momentum for structural change. Why this matters beyond domestic politics? Coercive recruitment corrodes the social compact the army relies on and hands Moscow ready propaganda about an unpopular government forced to conscript men. It also risks hollowing out Ukraine's most valuable asset right now, public support for the war effort, at a moment when Western supplies and intelligence remain decisive. Reddit threads show the split clearly, one side demanding law and order responses to attacks on recruiters, the other warning that the use of force to fill ranks only fuels avoidance and undermines long-term resilience. Practically, Kyiv needs a credible alternative to compulsory methods that both replenishes the front and limits abuses. International partners can help by supporting contract-based recruitment, portable benefits for veterans, and transparent legal oversight of conscription. Absent those fixes, battlefield gains risk being undercut by eroding homefront consent and the very manpower shortages Kyiv must avoid. Both Nicaragua and Ukraine point to a larger theme. When political systems lose legitimacy, whether through a ruler removing elections or a government coercing service, the downstream effects are migration, instability, and harder to reverse social fractures. In Managua, the fracture looks like legal closure. In Kyiv, it looks like social rupture. In both cases, democracies watching from the outside have tools, but few fast levers to restore legitimacy. So the practical question for policymakers is not only how to punish wrongdoing, but how to rebuild trust through asylum pathways, independent monitoring, and structural support that reduces the incentives for coercion. If Ortega's decree holds, expect a near-term rise in asylum requests and a tougher, longer migration crisis for Central America. If Ukraine cannot reform mobilization without coercion, battlefield gains risk being hollowed out by eroded public consent. I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.
Debug the hype. Where the builders talk it through, oh yeah, from the glitch to the glow, every line, every clue,
debug the hype,
tune in, take that ride,